Jude, chapter 1, verse 22. I just want to say once again, thank you for you guys for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Pastor Bogart, for allowing me to come up here and to edify your people. Jude, chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible reads, "And of some have compassion, maybe a difference." Let me just pray. Dear God, I ask you to just help me right now, Father. Please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse my heart. Help me not to be self-willed. Help me to do this for them, dear Lord, and myself as well. But in the end, Father, just help us to glorify your Son right now in the name of you, dear Lord. Amen. Alright, Jude chapter 1, verse 22. I want you to see right there where he uses two words that I want to focus on. One is compassion, and the other is difference. And the title of my sermon right now is Making a Difference for God Forever. And what I want you to do is go to Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And what I want to do this morning is just to motivate you and help you to realize that we're not just here on earth. We're here on earth to make a difference.
Amen.
And when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 10, verse 29, to kind of give you an understanding of why we're here in South Africa, why we came all the way from America. And I'm going to start off by reading Mark chapter 10. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." And the very last verse, verse 31, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And I know Pastor Bogart, he wants this church to be among those in heaven that are first. He does not want to be last place. He wants to make sure that his people, when they're in heaven, are going to be like the brightest stars in heaven that will shine forever and ever. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to do if churches let us. You know, we're here to just help you guys. Help you guys to get the confidence that you need to go to your neighbor, knock on the door, ask him if he knows if he's going to heaven, ask him if he's sure, and be able to show him the Bible, show him the gospel, so he can be 100% sure that he's going to heaven. Because I'm telling you right now, that is one of the greatest feelings that you could ever have, is just knowing that comfort, that peace, that if you die right now, you will be in heaven forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 4, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And I want you to realize that, you know what? Being a fisher of men is one of the most important jobs that every Christian has today. But as you notice, Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I can testify right now that many pastors are responsible for helping me to be a fisher of men. And that's what I want to do in my life. Yes, I have my other jobs, but I have to keep focused and realize that I'm not just here on earth to do cable back in America. God has me here on earth to be a fisher of men. And that's why Pastor Bogart invited us here, because he wants to make sure that his church is fishing for Jesus Christ, because that's what he wants to see, lots of fishes. And Pastor, thank you for reminding people that we are his witnesses. We're not just here on earth to be happy, to be rich. We're here on earth to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, get people saved. And this is something that God wants everyone to do, because it's all of our jobs to bring glory to God. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, let me read this. "Wherefore therefore you eat or you drink, or whatsoever you do," I love these words, "do all to the glory of God."
Amen.
And check your heart. Are you doing all to the glory of God? Are you doing everything you possibly can to please our Father in heaven? Because guess what? God wants us all to make a difference. Every single one of us. And see, in this world, I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about Christians. In this world, I guarantee you there are Christians that are making a difference, and I also guarantee you there are some Christians that are not making a difference at all. And see, God wants us all to make a difference. That's why he said in Mark chapter 13, verse 25, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest come and suddenly you find you sleeping. And a lot of Christians today are sleeping. And I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about their spirit is sleeping. It is not awake. It is not alert. It has no idea what's going on around it. But Pastor Boyle wants to make sure that you guys wake up. God wants you up. God wants you working. And everything he says in the Bible, he's not just saying it to some Christians. He's saying it to all. Because like it says, lest come suddenly, when Christ return, and Christ will return one day.
Amen.
And just to throw it in there, after the tribulation. But when Christ returns, will you be embarrassed? Will you be ashamed? Or will you be happy to see Christ in the clouds and be ready to meet your Savior? And be ready to say, I have work for you. But remember, he's not just talking to some. He's talking to all. And how do I know? Verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch, is what the Lord and Savior says. And see, if you want to make a difference, if you want to say, hey, how can I make a difference? How can I change the world? Well, you have to wake up. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For say, have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And realize the words of the Apostle Paul. He wanted Christians in Corinth to wake up. Wake up. Realize you're sinning. Read the Bible. Figure out what's right. Figure out what's wrong. God is not going to help you. You say, how can I change this world? By righteousness. The Bible clearly says, wake up to righteousness. Righteousness is salt in a nation. You're like, how can I make this nation better? Vote for the right guy? No, my friend. It starts with you. It starts in the church house. It starts with righteousness. Turning from the wicked ways that you know that you're in. Everybody has sin. We all should know our weaknesses. And for those that don't, I would just say, pray to God that he will reveal unto you so you can help others. By you taking the beam out of your eye, you'll be able to help others to take the mote out of their eye. And see, the Bible says this, that is woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I say the same thing, woe unto you if you're preaching not the gospel. And remember he said it is a shame unto you that people don't know the knowledge of God. People don't know the gospel. But I know that's going to change even more in this area. Because it won't be a shame for me to come back a year from now and people are no longer knocking on doors. You guys pulled it off for whatever reason, just held up on it. But you know what? In this street, and in other parts of South Africa, there are people that really don't know the knowledge of God. But the most important thing to teach them is how to be saved and become a child of God.
Amen.
And that's just my reminder for you today. And see, here's the thing. I want to read you something. I want to read you a quote from a man named Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States for 8 years. He's dead already. But this is what he said. He says, some people spend an entire lifetime wondering if they made a difference in the world. But the Marines don't have that problem. As I said before, I was in the military. I was a Marine. And when I heard about that, I thought to myself, how does he even know? He's not a Marine. And I even thought about people that are in the Marines, and they're wondering, am I wasting my life? Am I really making a difference? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? And you know what? I can guarantee you that this quote is wrong. There are some Marines that have a problem wondering if they did a good thing in their life, wondering if in their lifetime they did make a difference. But the other thing that I think of when I read this quote is I think about Christians. I wonder if anybody in this room, or any Christians in South Africa, or in America, I wonder if one day, if they happen to die very slowly, one day, if they happen to be on their deathbed and they're getting ready to pass into eternity, I wonder if one day, people in this room, people in my church, people in South America, wherever, I wonder if they're going to be wondering, did I make a difference in this world? Did I help teach this world for God? Did I do anything that was worthy to say, I did something for the Lord? And you know what? I guarantee you there will be Christians one day when Christ returns, or when they see Christ, they will be ashamed. They will be embarrassed. They will say, say, you know what? I'm not ready to meet my maker. I haven't done enough. I haven't done anything. I haven't won one soul to the Lord. But you know what? I guarantee you there'll be a group. There will be a group that when they're ready to die, when it's time to go, if they happen to be on their deathbed, passing away, I guarantee you this group is not going to be wondering if they made a difference in this world. They're not going to wonder if they helped change the world for Jesus Christ. They're not going to think twice about it. They're going to be looking forward to meeting the Savior. They're going to be looking forward to passing over to the next life. And you know who that group is? That would be the group of soul winners.
Amen.
That's who it's going to be. The Christians that went out and they won people for the Lord. I ain't going to wonder if I did something for God. I know if I haven't been my deathbed about to pass away, go to the next life. I'm going to remember these faces that I saw here in South Africa. And 11 days, could be more, but in the last 11 days, 12 days, just us small group of people were able to win at least 60 South Africans to the Lord. And I say amen to that.
Amen.
And if you think I'm going to be on my deathbed wondering, man, I hope I can, you know, kind of get a pass from Jesus. I hope, you know, that I can do something right here, right now before I pass away. I'll tell you what, it's not going to happen. I will be happy to go over. I can't wait to meet the Savior. I can't wait to meet the people that I hope to lead to the Lord. That's going to be one of the things I look for the most. But you know what? You may be thinking right now, I know I'm supposed to be a witness. I know I'm supposed to go out there and tell people how to get eternal life. But where do I begin? How do I start? And like I said before, that what we do is we help people to get the confidence to be able to knock on doors by teaching them how to have an excellent plan of salvation. One that I personally know works because it's a plan of salvation that saved me. In Romans Road, I spoke about it last week. You know, but if you're talking about what can I do after knowing the gospel, well, I'm going to give you three things really quickly to help you to make a difference in this world. If you do these things, you will succeed. You won't be wondering if you ever did anything in your lifetime to make a difference. You will walk away into the next life believing that you didn't waste the life that God has given you. So the first thing I will recommend for you guys to do, I'll read it for you, Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Let me just stop right there. The person that's speaking here is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's commanding is for us to go and baptize people. It may seem like something simple, but in America, a lot of Christians get saved, but they're too embarrassed to get baptized. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to make a difference in this world for God for all eternity, you're just going to have to realize that if you're not baptized, you must be baptized. And I know there's people right now in this room, and I'm not here to make you feel bad or make you look bad, but you're just recently saved. And I was recently saved. Remember, everyone was recently saved. I did not get baptized for probably 2 years. That was a huge mistake, a big mistake. And so what I want to do is just show you some verses to give you the confidence that this is what God wants you to do. You already see in Matthew 28 where it says, go all power given unto me, go therefore and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things what I have commanded you. See, we know that Jesus is talking, but I want to read from Mark chapter 1, verse 9. This is the baptism of Jesus Christ. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized. So if our Savior got baptized, he is our example. We should get baptized as well. And the Bible says when Jesus was baptized, straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So I just want to point three things out. Number one, in Matthew, Jesus is the one that's talking. Jesus is the one that's telling people, go and baptize. So if a person does not get baptized, you're not disobeying the pastor, you're not disobeying the preacher, you're not disobeying anybody except God, and I don't want that for you. But also in that same sentence, just realize that when a person does get baptized, they're not obeying men, you're obeying God. And that is what we're here to do, obey God, and he will bless you for it. But I quickly want to talk about how he got baptized. It says right here, they're coming up out of the water. See, there's many baptisms up there. They sprinkle babies, they pour water on people. But it shows right here that Jesus came out of the water. Here's the thing, it's impossible to come out of water unless you're first underwater.
That's right.
Just in case you were wondering, what baptism counts? The one where you're completely underwater.
Yes.
That's the one that counts.
Amen.
And the other thing I want to show you is that after Christ was baptized and he came out of the water, it says right here, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I just want to quickly point that out. That when a person gets baptized, that makes God really, really happy. And guess what? It makes the pastor really, really happy. And guess what? It makes the church members really, really happy. And if someone is not happy, cast that devil away. He doesn't belong around you. But just realize that it doesn't say that God was pleased. It uses the word well pleased. Well pleased. Really happy. And when God sees you from heaven, obeying him, going to the waters to get baptized, and he sees you get dunked on the water and come out of the water, I promise you, he's in heaven saying, that is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Well pleased. And you may be wondering, well, when should I get baptized? Well, let me go over what they did in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter is talking to people. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. Here's what I'm going to point out. The same day. So these people in the book of Acts, Peter's preaching to them, giving them the gospel. They believe it and they get baptized. The same day. So if you ever get someone saved and you get baptized on that day, that's what God wants. Obviously, some of you got saved recently. Some of you are now 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Before you weren't. But I recommend now, as soon as possible, to get baptized. To get baptized. And tomorrow, we're having baptisms. We're going to make it easy for you. So if you're freshly saved, we're going to make it easy for you to get baptized, and Pastor will talk about that when I'm done. So baptism, as you can clearly see, is a commandment. Like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Baptism is up there as well. Because think about it. Christ went back to heaven after he was crucified. And there are many commandments in the Bible. Lots of them. Before he left, he could have just said, remember guys, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. But one of the last things that he said, one of the last commandments he wanted them to remember, was go and teach all nations, baptizing them. And you can tell that God is super serious about some sins when he mentions them over and over and over and over again. And you know and I know, when a preacher gets up here and he's preaching, the next day you're probably going to remember 1% of what he said. But what he tries to do is finish his sermon the same way he started it, to help you to walk away remembering the key point. And so, of course, Christ walked away and went back to heaven, giving us the last thing he wanted us to meditate on, and that's to teach and baptize people. So I'm telling you, get baptized, God will be happy with you. And the Bible makes it very clear that people got baptized the same day. The Bible makes it very clear that they did it because they knew that it was a commandment. And if you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 66:18. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 66:18. While you're turning to Psalm 66:18, if you have a Bible, please turn there. It'll be worth it. I'll give you time to turn there. Psalm 66:18. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from James 4:17. Now let me ask you, church, raise your hand if you believe that baptism is a good thing.
Amen.
Raise your hand if you believe it's what God wants you to do. Raise your hand if it is a good thing.
Amen.
That's a lot of hands. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. You can turn baptism into a sin. And let me show you how. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth the not, to him it is sin.
Wow.
So if you know how to get baptized, and you're like, but I'm too nervous, I'm too ashamed, I don't have time, I just don't want to, I'm just lazy. The Bible says that is sin. And if you're Psalm 66:18, here's the danger with not getting baptized. Here's the danger with having sin in your heart. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Dang.
Now, if somebody were to ask me, how was South Africa The first word that comes to my mind is danger. Danger. If somebody would say, hey, you know, I want to go to South Africa, what do you think of it? Hey, there's a lot of danger over there. It's not like America. It's definitely not like New Zealand. And I would just say, look, if you're going to go over there, you better go over there with the right heart. You better go over there with the right intentions. You better have God's will in mind. And you better make sure you don't have iniquity in your heart, because you're going to need it. Yeah. You're going to need it. The second day we were here, the second day, we almost got robbed. The second day, feeding people that were poor, just trying to give them meat. It wasn't even 24 hours before they tried to jump us. Four guys. No respect, nothing. They didn't know pastors and brethren. My goodness, I'm there happy, I'm there helping people. I'm like, praise the Lord, I gave them the gospel. I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. And sure enough, my partner's trying to do what God wants him to do. You know, and he just loves everyone, so he'll talk to everyone. But next thing you know, they start surrounding him. Trying to get him to take his phone out of his pocket. They're like, I'll come to your church, what's your phone number so I can call you? He's like, yeah, my buddy was probably born that night, but not last night. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking like danger. And I would just tell people, look, you better have a pure heart. You better make sure you're right with God. You better make sure you don't have any iniquity in your heart. Because if you do and you're asking God to protect you, He's not going to listen to you. But you know what? It doesn't matter if it's an American. It doesn't matter who it is. Even you guys are in danger of falling victims to the gangs.
Yeah,
to
right.
The hard living gangs, the sexy boys, the mongols, all these guys that are out here. It's not just Americans that are in danger, you guys as well. I don't think I ran into many people that said, I've never been a victim of a crime. It seems like 90% of the people we ran into, they're telling me, man, they robbed my house and my mom was in there.
Yeah.
We went to talk to a man dying of stage 4 HIV, and the woman is saying, man, they just broke into my house. They've broken into my house 3 times. The last time they did it with a gun.
Yeah.
And if you think the danger is only for Americans that are coming over here to give people the gospel, no, it's for you guys as well.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important that you understand that you've got to be as right with God as possible. Yes, He's merciful. Yes, He's loving. Yes, He's long-suffering. But He's also just. And at some point, He would say, you know what, my son, my daughter, she's not going to turn from the sin. Let me help her. And He'll just come down and chastise you because He loves you. But remember, if you refuse to be baptized, and I'm just doing this because I care about you. I'm doing this because I love you. I want God to protect you. I want God to bless you. I want you guys to succeed and prosper. But you cannot win with sin.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You cannot win with sin. And God wants us to confess our sins and to forsake them. And He says, you will have mercy and you will prosper. So that tells you that if you have sin in your life, you don't confess it, you don't forsake it, He says, I'm not going to forgive you and you're not going to prosper. And you know what? I see the children that are poor and I know that it's sad and I feel bad for them. But you got to kind of think, a lot of it is because of sin. Because of sin that these children are suffering. Sins of the parents, grandparents, who knows? God says, I will punish the wicked up to the fourth generation. I'm not saying that all of them are wicked, those children are being punished because of their own personal sins. But I can pretty much tell you that probably the parents have something to do with their suffering. As they refuse to go to church, they know God is real, but they refuse to trust Him, call upon Him, repent, and do what they have to do to get God on their side. If you got your Bible, go to Mark 14:32. So the first thing I recommend, if you want to change the world and make a difference, the reason I'm bringing this up is because a lot of Christians did not get baptized even in America. Small percentage. But the first thing is, get baptized if you're not baptized. You want to change the world? You want to make a difference? You want to win souls? You want to take people to heaven with you? You know what? Go ahead. Get baptized. Get that out of the way. Because I guarantee you when things get tough, I guarantee you when the danger comes, I guarantee you when somebody gets sick, I guarantee you when you need God the most, if you turn to God and say, God, help me, and He knows you know that you haven't been baptized, I guarantee He's going to look from heaven, look down upon you and say, look, why should I listen to you when you're not listening to me? You know you ought to get baptized. You refuse to do it. You're ashamed of my word. But I bet you He will not hear you because the Bible says, if I have iniquity in the heart, the Lord will not hear me. But I want God to hear you. So very quickly, The second thing I recommend you start doing, if you want to make a difference for God and change the world, is you have to be a man and a woman of prayer. You have to pray. Here in Mark 14:32, I'm going to read from Matthew 19:23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Like I said before, want to save people? You got to be a person of prayer. And yes, there are some people that are very hard to save. We know that. The rich, very difficult to get saved. Like I said earlier, I think about 90% of the people I ran into that I spoke to, they all have some kind of issue with being a victim of a crime. And the other 10% that haven't suffered yet, those are the rich people in the high security buildings.
Yeah.
But you guys are not those people. But if you're like, hey, I want to get some people saved, how can I start? You got to learn to pray. Because Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
And James 5:16 says, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said, I'm going to do a lot for God. You need to be a fervent prayer.
Yeah.
You need to pray like you're on fire. Say, God, I need your help. Like you're trying to get the fire off you. God, I need you. Pound me. I'm serious. I know you can do it. I believe you can do it. And when he's out there being entertained by you just walking around, people are like, I like that. I like that kid. I like how he's doing business. But let me read you something. If you have your Bible, please just go to 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. I know it's really turn on the page, but go to 1 John 3:22. Luke chapter 18 says this, And he spake a parable unto them, that men ought to always pray and not faint. I'll give you a quick tip. Don't give up on prayer. Don't faint. Don't give up. Go to 1 John 3:22. I'm still in Luke 18. Let me read that again. God said, He gave these guys a parable, that we ought to always pray, not faint, not giving up. We just beat it up. If you're in 1 John 3:22, the Bible says, And whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Quick tip when it comes to prayer. God will not answer you, like it says right there, if you're not keeping the commandments. More evidence that if you refuse to be baptized, it says right there that we will receive what we ask for if we keep His commandments. And if baptism, is it a suggestion or is it a commandment? It's a commandment. And only that, look at what it says right there. That we receive what we ask for because we keep God's commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And one of the things that pleases God the most is going out there and getting people saved. And I'll bring that up over and over again. And see, here's a motivator for you. If you're doing your best to please God, if you're doing your best to do what's right, if you're already baptized and you're just trying to serve God, God will see that. God knows. God knows. And I promise you that He will answer your prayers. And I promise you, those things you desire, those things that you want, God will give them to you. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Listen to this. Psalms 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou do well in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Amen.
Let me repeat that. He will give you the desires of your heart. And let me just talk about two quick desires that God has recently given me. One is when we found out, our church says we're going to have a so many marathon in South Africa. I got excited. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Amen. We're going into all the world, like Jesus said. And I was thinking to myself, man, I wish I could go because I couldn't go. I had to work. And I'm thinking, man, Pastor Anderson, the members, all these people from South Africa, they're going to meet up and they're going to have a great time. I just know it. And in case you don't know what happened, the government blocked them from coming over. We were not allowed to have the soul-winning marathon. But I desire, you know what? I was thinking to myself, man, that's horrible. I would love to go. I would love to be there and guess where I am? Guess where I am? And they'd be like, oh, that's a coincidence. Okay, let me talk about a more recent desire. We were at the prison, eating at the prison. And sure enough, the waiter comes out. And he's like, what do you guys want? And I'm like, all right, I'll be modest. I'll take a burger. You know, other people order burgers. You know, Pastor wasn't so modest. He wanted the T-bone steak. So I'm thinking to myself, T-bone steak? How much is that? I really can't figure it out. So I busted out my calculator. And I'm like, $6. I'm like, oh, I want a steak too. And sure enough, the waiter comes out. I'm sorry, guys. We don't have enough burgers for everybody. Hey, give me to them. I'll take the steak. But right away, God gave me my desire because I was too shy to tell the waiter to change my order. You may think that's something small, but to me it was big because I was a good steak.
Amen.
And so I finished my steak and I'm thinking, man, I'm hungry. I want another one. But I'm too shy to ask for another steak. And I'm like, man, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, should I? No. I should be modest. No, I can't be ordering T-bone steaks. I don't even need this good back at home. Woo, T-bone steak is like rich people food. But I'm there like, Lord, I really want another one. Oh. So Teresa ordered a steak. The guy takes forever to bring it, so she's getting frustrated. The guy's taking 20 minutes, 25, finally it comes out, and I'm sure Teresa's thinking, it better be good if I waited that long. So I'm just sitting there looking at her steak like, man, I wish I had that steak. Teresa cuts into it, and she's like, oh no, it's burning, it's taking a while. I'm like, I'll take it! And you may say, that's just stupid. That's dumb. That's retarded. No, my friend, that was a desire that God gave me because I'm doing those things that are crazy. I went to that prison for one reason alone. It's got to open my heart. I wanted to go to that prison because I don't care whether it was a prison, a school, the presidential palace. If there's an opportunity to speak to people about the gospel, I want that opportunity.
Amen.
Give it to me, Lord. I'll take it. I'll give them the gospel. They're going to hear it. And so like I said before, I recommend if you're trying to change the world, make a difference, hey, please get baptism out of the way. Get it out of the way as soon as possible. God will be happy. He will bless you. Amen. You want to make a difference? You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to pray. And here's the thing. I'll quickly cover it. But I hate when people tell me to do something, and they know how to do it, and they don't tell me how to do it. So everybody prays differently. But I'm going to teach you how I pray. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Now when I pray, nothing new, somebody taught me this. In America, at least in the military, we like acronyms. Who knows what an acronym is? It's okay if you don't know. I know that you guys speak Afrikaans and you may not understand me, but I'll quickly tell you what an acronym is. An acronym is just a word that represents other words to help you to do something. So this acronym is called ACTS. My pastor from a First Baptist church taught me this. He says, if you want to pray, this is how I pray. I use ACTS, like the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. And he says the A stands for adoration. The C stands for confession. The T stands for thanksgiving. And the S stands for supplication. And I'll explain what that means. So he said, when I pray, I start with praising God. I start singing a song.
Yeah.
And my pastor really couldn't sing. But he said, this is how I do it. Oh my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made.
Hey.
I'm the other one. I come to the garden of just adoring God. Just singing to Him for 5 minutes because there are so many commandments in the Bible that tell you to sing, 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 sing. Sing unto the Lord. Sing to His holy name. Praise you, the Lord, with singing. And so I cannot go a day without singing. And I'm telling you right now, it is a sin to go a day without singing to the Lord because it is a commandment.
You need to sing, yeah.
You need to sing to the Lord. I know pastors like, man, you guys don't really sing because I've been concentrating on other things. But when nobody's watching, I'm singing.
Yeah.
I'm singing in the shower, I'm singing on my kids, I sing as much as I can. And that's the first thing I want to do, which is praise God, adore Him, just sing to Him. So I do that for 5 minutes. Then the C, confession. I spent 1 minute confessing to God because I don't want the devil to hear what I'm doing wrong. So I confess, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I've done all this, I've done all that. You know, I really ask you to be merciful to me. You know, why? Why do you do that? Because the Bible says if I have iniquity in the heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I want God to hear me before I start asking. See, prayer is asking. Prayer is not singing. Prayer is not giving thanks to God. Prayer is asking. And before I start asking, I'm going to confess my sins to God. Everything that I know that I've done wrong, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then I'm going to say, Lord, if there's anything else I can't remember right now, please forgive those sins too.
Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
And then the T. T is Thanksgiving. Guys, I'm telling you, Sodom and Gomorrah became wicked because they were not thankful to God.
Yeah.
And you will too, when you forget how good God is.
Thank you.
And so I spent a minute, actually 5 minutes, just thanking God for anything that comes to my mind. I look at myself, Lord, thank you for the shoes. Thank you for this suit, this tie. Thank you for my ring. Thank you for my wife, my children. Thank you for my pastor that's preaching correctly. Thank you for this, thank you for that. Thank you for as much as I can. You can thank God for a lot of things in 5 minutes.
Amen.
And the S is supplication, but I'll make it simple. The S, just start praying. Just start praying. You're like, what should I pray for? I'm glad you asked. See, I've been in South Africa, and Pastor Bogart has only taught me one word in Afrikaans, Mofi. Mofi. That's it. The only thing he didn't teach me to say thank you, hello, how you doing, praise the Lord, amen. Nothing, just Mofi. So I'm going to go above and beyond Pastor Bogart. I'm going to teach you guys two words in Spanish. Two words in Spanish. But when I start praying, this is what I do. I cast all my cares upon God. And the way I do that is I tell him my problems. My problems. Another acronym. The word my in Spanish is me. The word problems in Spanish is problemas. And I'll tell you what they all stand for. So I take 1 minute for each letter. And I start out with me. The M stands for myself. So when I pray 1 minute for myself. Dear God, I need this, I need this, I need this. I need wisdom. I need your guidance. I need this. I need to pay this bill. I need to pay that bill. I'm hurting here, I'm hurting there. You know, I need this and this and this and this and this for about a minute. That's what the M stands for. Me, am I, the I, immediate family. That's my wife and my kids. I spend a minute praying for them. Dear God, thank you for these kids. But my son Satan has a cavity. Give me money to fix it. You know? My wife, her stomach is hurting. You know? Make her feel better. Whatever. That's 1 minute for my family. Then the P, you're going to like this one. The P in problema stands for pastor and his family. Then I pray 1 minute for pastor and his family. And I say, Lord, protect this man. The devil wants to get him. We know. Help his family, help his kids. And if I know he needs a need, I say, Lord, help him with tires, help him with whatever.
Yes.
That's what I do for about a minute. Then, the R. The R stands for real family. They ask Jesus, hey, behold your mother and your brother, they're trying to talk to you. And he looks on his disciples and he points at them and he says, behold, my mother and my brothers. Who's ever doing the will of God is my mother and brother.
Amen.
So the R, your real family, that's the church.
Amen.
And I spend about a minute talking, you know, to God about the church members. If I know there's a problem, I say, God, this guy needs this guy needs that, protect this guy, protect that woman, protect this, protect that. And I take about a minute to pray for my church family. Then the O is other believers. Other believers. And I like to pray for other pastors. Because Paul, if you read his books, is constantly saying, when you guys come into remembrance, I pray about you. I pray for you every time you come into remembrance. Every time I think of you, I pray for you. And I pray for pastors to support us. I'm going to be praying for Pastor Bogart, Pastor Jimenez in Sacramento, Pastor, every pastor that I know. I just try to, and not just them, but church members as well from other churches. I pray for them. That's what the O stands for. And then the letter B, backsliders. I pray for backsliders. Because if I was backslidden, I would love you to pray for me and ask God to have mercy upon me. That's why I will pay. Backsliders. I quickly take a minute and I say, Lord, this person hasn't been to church. Be merciful unto them. I don't know what they're doing, but please, Lord, keep the devil away. Soften up their heart. Help them to come back to church. And I mention names as I see them drop dropping out of church, as I see him not showing up for a while, as I look at our gift book and look at the faces, hey, I haven't seen that guy. I pray for that guy with my kids. That's what the B stands for. And then the letter L. I love the letter L. It stands for the lost. Christ said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may bring laborers into the harvest. And to spend 1 minute just saying, God, please save this. Please save this. Please save this and this person. And please raise some more soul winners. And I think God has answered my prayer, because we have about 190 to 200 solid soul winners that know what they're doing, that go out every week, every day at our old church. And if it can happen over there, it can happen here.
Amen. Amen.
But you got to pray to the Lord of the harvest and pray for the lost. Mention your co-workers, mention your friends, mention your neighbors. And God, if you don't have anything good in your heart, he will hear you. He will hear you. And the E. You might like this one. The E stands for enemies. You have plenty. God says, pray for your enemies. Love those that hate you. So of course, you got plenty to pray for. The M stands for missionaries. People that are overseas. We got some missionaries in our church. I just remind myself to pray for them. Financially, health, whatever, protection, whatever it may be. That's what the M stands for. And the letter A, in problemas, I pray for America. Not that God will forgive America because it's too late, but that God will allow our church to reach every single American and give them a clear presentation of the gospel and let them decide whether they want to believe it or not. That's why I pray for America.
Amen.
And you guys can pray for Africa, that you guys will be used to get the gospel to everybody, not some, everyone. I mean, is your God not a big God?
Amen.
Can you not do it? Can you not get the gospel to everybody?
Yes.
We just waiting for you guys to get right and call upon him. But that's what it says in the Bible. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land and forgive their sin.
Amen.
So God's just waiting on us. That's what the A stands for. For me, it's America. For you guys, it can be Africa. And the S stands for the sick. Sick of the church. Sick of the churches. Because I don't like being sick. When I get really sick, I just beg for people to pray for me. So as we know that people are sick, we pray for the sick. The sick have a special place in my heart. As I know they're really suffering. Whether it's a headache, broken bone, you name it, I'll pray for you, Lord. And that's how I pray. And then I just finish it off 5 minutes with just a song. The reason I'm bringing this up is to give you an idea how to pray. And if you do the math, acts, adoration, 5 minutes, confession, 1 minute. And if you do the math, thanksgiving, 5 minutes, and then supplication, each problemas, each one is 1 minute. It equals to about 22 minutes. It's like, what's so special about 22 minutes? I'll tell you in a second. Book of Psalms, chapter 55, says this, evening and morning and noon, will I pray and cry out loud, and he shall hear my voice. David was a man that prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day. So if you pray 3 times a day, 22 minutes, that's over an hour. And you're like, well, what's the big deal about an hour? Let me read from the Bible. This is Jesus talking. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? And look at this. Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? 1 hour. He could have said 2 hours. Half an hour. He said 1 hour. He said, can you watch and pray for me for 1 hour? I made a big deal about 1 hour. So if you decide to use this, and you can pray, whatever, this is not the only way to pray. I'm just saying this is what helps me just stay in track, do things, eat decently and in order. Because like I said, if you want to do something for God, you better be baptized. You better be baptized. If you want to do something for God, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You will do much with prayer. But if you're wondering how to pray, even his apostles, even the apostle Jesus Christ said, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us out. And he did. So that's what I want to recommend you guys. Do it if you can. And I'll quickly hit the last point. If you want to do something big for God, get baptized. Learn to pray. But you got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. If you have your Bible, I'll quickly finish in about 5 minutes. Go to Deuteronomy 17:18. While you go to Deuteronomy 17:18, I'm going to read from Romans 10:13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be say? How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed the report? So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word of God. Why is it important to read the word of God? Because it will give you faith. And why do you need faith? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God without faith. Reading the Bible will give you faith. And let me tell you what reading the Bible will do. I'll start actually in verse 20. That your heart be not lifted up above your brethren. Reading the Bible will give you the fear of the Lord. Reading the Bible will keep you from being proudful. And the Bible makes very clear that you not turn from any of the commandments. Any of the commandments. And I'll quickly go over some things. My pastor back home, he reads the Bible for at least an hour a day. He doesn't read it from beginning to end. Some days he reads it for 3 hours, sometimes more. But what he does, he says, I found it easy to do this. I look at a Bible that I know I can finish, a book in the Bible that I know I can finish within the hour, and he just reads the whole thing. That's just a recommendation I give to you guys because it can help you because you're wondering where to start. Because if you start in Genesis, that book will take you a long time to finish. So find a small book, knock them out, and then start with the harder books. But reading the Bible, my friend, will keep you in church. It will keep you from sin. It will make you a good soul winner. And above all things, it will keep you humble. You will get the fear of the Lord. And why is it important to read the Bible? Because it will keep you from leaving church. It'll keep you from going back into sin. It'll keep you from destroying your life. You will not be a good soul winner. You will not make a difference in this world. You will not do much for God if you don't start getting into the Word. And I'll just read this. The Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates it when someone is causing problems in the church. God hates it when people go around talking bad about the pastor. God hates it when you're trying to divide the church. God hates it when you're making brothers fight against brother, basically look at each other like they're all hurting each other. God hates that. But if you start at this verse, it says the proud is the person that does that. Reading the Bible will keep you humble so you don't lift up your heart above your brethren. And if you think it doesn't happen, it just recently happened to one of our favorite pastors. In his church, there was an individual who decided to go against his pastor. He decided to talk bad about his pastor, and he decided to make up lies about his pastor. You're like, why would a man do such a thing? I'll tell you why. Proverbs 13 says, only by pride cometh contention.
Yes.
Only by pride. And it will happen here. Somebody will get prideful. Somebody will start talking bad about you. Somebody will think that it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to think that God doesn't really care. God's going to think that it's his job to correct you.
Yeah.
To tell you what to do. To fix you. When the Bible is going to fix you.
Amen.
You want to tell him he's doing something wrong, you go up to him like a father.
Absolutely.
You respect him.
Amen.
But you know what? If you see anybody disrespecting your pastor, anybody going against the leadership, anybody, you can bet it's because of their pride.
Come on.
And you can bet it that they're either not reading their Bible or they're reading the wrong Bible.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that. Because doesn't it say here, quickly in Deuteronomy once again, that if we read the Bible says simply this, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all days of his life. Every day read the Bible. And God says, if you do that, you're going to learn to fear the Lord. You're not going to have your heart lifted above your brothers. So you can guarantee that if somebody thinks they're better than someone else, I guarantee you, it's because they're not reading the Bible. They are too puffed up in their own mind.
Come on.
And if you read the Bible and you're like, man, I'm reading my Bible 3 hours a day, and I still think I'm better than this guy, then you might just be, amen. But you still don't have the right to disrespect them. So I bring that up and I'll close with this. That if you ever want to do something for God, it just comes down to obeying him.
Amen.
To doing what he wants you to do. And many people would say, well, I just believe that we should love everyone. Just the love of God is all that matters to me. I just want to love God. I'm just going to show people the love of God. And I say amen to the love of God. And even in Jude, you guys were in Jude 1:22. Let me go back to the beginning. Jude chapter 1 verse 21. God commands us. It says this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. But some people have no clue what that means, so I'm going to tell you what that means. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments.
Amen.
And His commandments, it's up to us to keep. So let me conclude with this. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. God commands us to pray, get baptized, keep His commandments. You're never going to keep His commandments unless you get in the Word, read the Bible, learn it, know it, love it. And I promise you, you will make a difference in this world. You will change this world for God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for everything you've done. Lord, I know there are people in here that have not been baptized. I am not saying this to make them feel bad. I love them. I want them to prosper. I want them to do what's right. So Lord, just help us to help them to get baptized. Give us the gas, the opportunity, the time to get them baptized. And for those that are baptized in this room, I pray, dear God, you just help them to pray more to you. Prayer is important. We should pray every day. And I did my best just to help them to figure out how to pray. But also, the Bible, dear God, I pray that if they don't have a Bible, help us to get a Bible in their hand. Lord, I just beg you right now, dear Father, to just help them to realize that this is what's going to change you, the Bible. The Bible will change from the inside out. And you cannot be a good soul winner. You cannot be a good church member. You cannot do anything for you unless you know your Word and love your Word and then keep your Word. So I thank you for everything. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.